The word of God that we consider this morning is recorded in 2 Chronicles chapter 14, verse 11. These are the words of King Asa of Judah. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Saul, David, Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijam, Asa. These are the kings of Judah. Abijah ruled only 3 years, but his son Asa ruled for 41 years. And the Bible says about Asa did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord his God. Among those good things that Asa did, he got rid of the foreign altars and shrines in the land. He commanded his people to worship the true God, the Lord of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He commanded them to obey his laws. He built walls around the cities, and he told the people, we have sought the Lord our God, and he has given us rest on every side. And the Bible says, in his days the land was quiet for 10 years. He had an army of 580,000 valiant soldiers to protect his people against foreign invasion. But you know what happens when things go well? The danger is that we begin to think that we have earned all of these things by our own merit, or that we are safe from our enemies because of our superior strength and our wisdom. And so God allowed a test to come upon King Asa and his people. Zerah the Ethiopian came from the south to invade Judah. And Zerah had 1 million men in his army and 300 chariots. So Asa realized that he was greatly outnumbered. The Bible doesn't say how many chariots Asa had, but he probably had quite a bit less than 300. And besides that, his army had not had much experience fighting against a foreign invader. The land had had rest for 10 years. But King Asa knew what the Lord God of Israel was capable of doing. Had he not been told how the Lord, at the time of Moses, rescued his people from the great and mighty Pharaoh of Egypt? Had he not been told about what happened in the days of Joshua, when God, through Joshua, gave him victory over all the nations of Canaan? And what about his great-great-grandfather David, who had gone out in battle against Goliath, and the Lord had been with him? And then maybe Asa also knew about the exploits of Jonathan, Saul's son, who, with his armor-bearer, just the two of them, faced the whole Philistine army. And Jonathan said to his armor-bearer, nothing restrains the Lord from saving by many or by few. So Asa, in this crisis, knew that there was only one thing to do, and that was cry out to the Lord. Only one who could help him now, and that was the Lord God of Israel. And notice that in this prayer that he prayed, he uses the special name that God gave to himself three times, Lord, L-O-R-D, which is printed out in four capital letters in our English translations. And this name brings out the truth that God is not only a mighty God, but he is a God who is faithful to his people, faithful to all of his promises that he has made. And so in this crisis, Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. Notice Asa admits that he has no power, that his army is no match to Zerah's million and his chariots. But the Lord can save with many or with few. Remember how God told Gideon to send his troops home? Otherwise they might brag that they had defeated the enemy because of their great strength. And finally Gideon went out against the mighty force of the Midianites with only 300 men, and God gave him the victory. And notice in his prayer that Asa does not say, do not let man prevail against us, but he says, do not let man prevail against you. So he recognizes that God is with his people, and the cause of Judah is God's cause, because Judah is his people. So now what happened in the battle that followed? We read, the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. They were overthrown and they could not recover. Not only did Judah win the battle, but they carried away very much spoil. They carried off sheep and camels in abundance and returned to Jerusalem. Well, what can we learn from this event? As Christians who take God's word seriously, we will often find ourselves in the minority. Those who have contrary opinions will be many. And should we then rashly put our trust in ourselves, in our strength, or in our cleverness? Or should we do the opposite and give up hope altogether? Rather, we should do what Asa did, cry out to the Lord, remembering who he is and what he has done in the past, the great victories he has won for his people. Even if we are greatly outnumbered, if we have the Lord God on our side, our victory is assured. Think of it, the Lord Jesus, all by himself, without any help from anyone except the Lord God, went out to defeat Satan and all the forces of evil. Won that great victory on Good Friday and Easter. And the gospel word that we speak in Jesus' name is his word. And so, if we speak that gospel word, we are involved in his cause. It is not our cause, but his cause. And so we can pray like Asa, do not let man prevail against you. And with the Lord Jesus fighting for us, we are sure to gain the victory, and we also will carry off much spoil. The spoil, forgiveness of sins, the promise of eternal life, and the heavenly Jerusalem. Amen. We sing a hymn that may not be familiar, but it is really a great hymn, I think. 768. We'll sing stanzas 1, 4, and 5.